Billy Morgan, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much, Rhys.
Great to have you, my friend. And Billy Keane, will you return, nice return to Terrace Talk? You're very welcome.
A pleasure. Wish I didn't think I'd be coming back with Billy here, but it's great to be here with him anyway.
Congratulations, Billy, and the two Billies on the book. It's a superb read, I must say, Billy. And having followed your career all my life and having been one of your greatest admirers, always saying the greatest goalkeeper I ever saw, everything is in the book. It brings me back down memory lane anyway, Billy. That's just, everything is in it, really.
Yeah, well, I suppose starting from the very beginning, almost since I was born, and I went right through up to the All-Ireland final. And, you know, I told it as I remembered it, and I would think, I hopefully I got everything out there. And, I mean, Billy was fantastic, and we had a good time when we were doing it as well, you know.
Billy, how long did it take and how did it come about?
Well, I always, you know, I did Moss Keane's book and I always wanted to do that and I always wanted to do Billy's book. And I say it was more me pushing him than anything else. But Christy Carney from Belly Desmond, you know, Christy who won an All-Ireland club with Castleisland Desmonds. Christy is a great friend of both of ours and he kind of brought us together a bit as well. And then one day, I think Billy was getting a bit sick of the fact that the Cork County Board and they held their meetings, everything was in camera and nobody knew what was going on, and you know, everything was kind of done behind closed doors, and I'd say he just had enough, really. That was, and I just happened to be there the same day, and I was just thrilled to do the book because he was easily the most interesting fella left to do a book about.
It had to be done.
Let's
start at the very beginning. In the very beginning of the book, you had a health scare. You had, and that's all covered in the chapter. You had a heart attack and you were lucky, evidently, what you say in the book.
Yeah, in 2007, I ran the New York Marathon. I had been training for it all through, so I did it at the start of November, and I remember I got shin splints and I had to rest it for a while, so I went back running in early December, and while I was out running, I got this pain in my chest, which I didn't take any notice of because I thought it was, I have a hiatus hernia or whatever. So I just ran away, went out running another few days later, got it again, still ignored it. I went off to Chicago with Stephen O'Brien a few days out there, came back, I remember feeling terrible, but put it down to the few days in Chicago. And then I was playing golf in Kinsale, and there's a 9-hole course, and the third hole there is a fairly steep hill, and walking up I got the pain again, but again I kept going, and coming around the second time going up I got it again, but this time much more severe, and I was also very breathless. But I think I was very, very lucky. There's a shower of rain came down, a very heavy shower, so we stood in out of the rain, and while I was standing in I was talking to myself and I said, there's something wrong here, and maybe that shower of rain might have saved my life, I don't know.
Yeah, and you went to hospital.
Yeah, I phoned Dr. Khan, and I said, you know, I'm getting this pain in my chest, but I said, look, this is probably this hiatus hernia. So look, he said, call up to me. So I called up to Khan, and he examined me, and I left, and within a quarter of an hour, he rang me and told me he wanted me to go up to Bill Fennell, who was a specialist. They wanted me to see him straight away. He examined me and told me, and I didn't believe him. I said I couldn't have. He was saying to me and telling me, you have. I said I couldn't have. I ran a marathon a couple of weeks ago, and he said, I don't care what you ran. He said, you have heart trouble. And he said, I want you up here. He said, on Friday, he said, I want you up for an angiogram. I said, I can't. I'm going to London on business. I won't be back. And then he pointed at me, and with a lot of menace in his voice, said to me, I'm telling you now, you forget your London trip and you'll be up here on Friday. So then I said, oh God, something wrong here, and there was, you know.
Angiogram?
Yeah, I had it on the...
Blockages?
Yeah, I had 100% blockage in
two
one...
stents?
No, only one stent.
Lying down, looking up at the monitor.
That's right,
and you're not going, Billy, I had it done myself.
Oh yeah, yeah,
stent and said, lying down, looking up at the monitor, and your heart going.
That's
like
right,
that.
Yeah.
The white fluid going through it. I had it done myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? Anyone should have it done.
Yeah, well,
would you believe me?
It's painless, really.
It's great stuff, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Listen to me. First of all, the first thing I want to ask you, Billy, I always wanted to ask you this. the day above in the sideline with Johnny Mulville, and just you'll talk about this.
Yeah,
in the book.
Yeah.
The great Johnny Mulville from Narnkerry. What happened in the sideline, and you cover it in the book?
Colin Corkery had the ball. He was out near the touchline, and he was shouldered. And he went over the line himself, but in my opinion, the ball did not go over the line. And the linesman put up his flag and gave a line ball for Kerry. So I shouted at the linesman that it wasn't a line ball, that he was never over the line, all that. And then all of a sudden, Johnny appeared from nowhere.
Yeah.
And started to abuse me and say, you're always at referees and linesmen. And
yeah.
So we had it hot and heavy then. And I know Johnny going back to UCC. Or UCC.
Yeah, you know, just said, yeah.
We didn't. Yeah. We got our noses got close together, yeah. So to say. But that was about as close as it came, you know.
But on, you see the winkers there, you have, they're down the ground, the headphones. Those winkers, Billy, those set up there.
These things?
Put them on you there. Put them on you there. Because we want to have a chat with Johnny Mulville. Johnny, you're very welcome to the programme.
Hello, Misha. How are you?
Hello, Mul. You're the man that caused all the trouble above and cocked that there.
How well, the ball was way out the line.
Not at all, Johnny. It wasn't near it.
It was definitely a line ball for Kerry.
Was it?
Yes.
What have you to say to this man, Johnny?
Well, I admire Billy Morgan all my life since I was in UCC. And the greatest tribute I give. Pay to him is any club would like a Billy Morgan in their clubhouse, because he's done everything that a man has done for football. And all you have to do is look at his fact find what he's achieved as a trainer and as a manager and as a player. Everybody knows it, but I think he has gone down the road where most players and managers like to go and win. And Billy was always a winner. And I remember we were going to Tipperary. I was training Tipperary one Sunday. And there was a Sunday after Dáil Éireann, Cork and Meath had played, and I think Meath won Dáil Éireann that year. And Nemo played Tipperary in a challenge in Kerr. And we won. We thought we'd win because we said the Nemo boys won't be here at all after losing Dáil Éireann. They all trotted out, including Dean Allen, Shea Fahey and all of them. But I think we won by a point. But the Nemo went into the dressing room in Kerr, and they stayed an hour inside. Signs on the went and won the county final in Cork 2 weeks later. So I have great admiration for him, and when he on the line, I'd be a crossman, but once the game is over, I forget about him. I'm sure he's the same.
Yeah. Do you want to say hello to him there, Bill? Yeah.
Johnny, you're always a plum also.
Come here, Johnny. Thanks for joining us.
No problem, wish you.
Thanks. Oh. Come here. I was watching you. You had a good win, Listo Limits. I was out there last Saturday.
Oh, it was a great game. We had to win it against Spar.
Yeah.
And it was a very enjoyable game. Both teams played very well.
Yeah, and Spar down in Waterford next Sunday. We wish him the best of luck.
I hope they do now.
Yeah. Johnny Mulville, as always, thanks for joining us. Come on. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you. Billy Keane, the one thing that comes through in the book continuously, and Billy keeps saying it himself, that he says his temper kept getting him into trouble. And that keeps coming up in the book, and we all know that he had a fiery temper where football was concerned. And that keeps coming up in the book, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, that was, like Billy admits himself, that's exactly you know?
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I think it's a good sign of a fella that gets a bit excited on the line. But what I found was after doing the book with Billy that I was asked to do linesman at a young fella's match lately, and I found myself getting into more and more trouble with the refs. I think I got inside his head so much and he inside mine that I became Billy Morgan.
Yeah.
So I shouted at the ref, that was a throw ball, and the ref came over to me. I was the linesman now, I used to put up the flag, said that was a throw ball for a goal against the stall. And he came over and he said, that was no throw ball. And I said, that would even be a throw ball in basketball. I said, never mind Gaelic football. But no, he's one of those fellas that's passionate about it. And yeah, you'd like to see a fella having a bit of a go. And that, I kind of found it interesting because when I went to matches with my late father, it was the same thing. Like, he was very passionate on the sideline and could blow up, like, but then 5 minutes after the game, the fella that he had a row with in the stand, to be having a drink with him in Boston's of my van or Johnny Welch's at Belly Longford or somewhere. So I could understand that, and I knew kind of this was kind of the way, maybe a way of letting off steam as well. But sometimes he pretended to lose the head, and I managed to get that out of him there one day, you know. Spillane, I think, Billy. Pat Spillane went down, and he was getting a bit of a pasting from Niall Cahalan the same day, and Pat Lane was the referee for Maskeaton and Limerick, and I think he was either going to send off Cahalan or book him at the very least. Billy went onto the pitch, he'll tell you himself. Am I right, Bill?
Yes, that's right. It was 1987 in Killarney. Pat Spillane was getting a bit of a dogging from Niall, all right, there's no doubt about that. But at this stage, right in front of me, Pat went down. And I think at this stage, he was actually diving. But the referee was coming over and going, I think, at the very least, going to warn Niall and possibly send him off. So I pretended to lose the head and abused Pat and said that Pat Spillane is throwing down himself all day and there's nothing wrong with him and is this and that. And in the end, Pat Spillane just Pat Lane just warned me and forgot about Callahan. And, so you got away with it.
Lads are cute. They're cute.
We have so much to talk about. When we come back, we'll be talking to Billy about his mother's. Yehoshi mentioned the book, Lartimer. You were only what age, Billy, when your mother died?
I was a month short, my sixth birthday.
Birthday, yeah. And your father died suddenly later on then. We have so much to talk about. His run-ins with the county board and much, much more. And we're talking to Billy Morgan and Billy Keane about Rebel Rebel, the Billy Morgan story. If you haven't got it, go out and get it, because I can tell you this, and I say this, it certainly brought me down memory lane, and it has revived so much stuff. And Kerry, of course, are deeply involved in the book. You're going to enjoy it. Stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
You're on the field with Terrace Talk, thanks to Quill's Lansdowne Arms Hotel, Kinmare.
Yes, indeed. You're very welcome back to the programme. Billy Morgan, the Cock Legend, is my special guest in studio. We're talking about his book, Rebel Rebel, written with Billy Keane, the Billy Morgan story. And I can tell you this, it's an absolutely superb read, nearly 200-300 pages, and it's packed with everything about Billy Morgan. And anyone that knows Billy Morgan and knows anything at all about him will know for certainty that there's a lot in that. People are ringing up. John O'Neill, Ratmore, read Billy Morgan. Best of luck with the book. He has been a fantastic footballer and manager over the years, one of the first modern-day goalkeepers. Moskeen and Pat O'Mara in their late teens carried Billy Morgan on their shoulders from the Kent Railway Station to the Western Bar after winning the Sigerson Cup in 66. Happy memories, Billy, was it? Do you remember that?
Well, I remember winning it, but
the afters were a bit blurred there.
The 66 final was in Galway, so they were in a fair old carrying me in with their shoulders. But maybe he's probably referring to when we came back to Cork, you know.
Mike Sullivan from Beira was on. How does Billy Morgan get on with Jack O'Connor?
I don't really know Jack, to be quite honest. My playing days, I never played against, he didn't play with Kerry, during our management, we never met after matches, so I don't really know the man.
Yeah. Paddy Hurley, Belly Desmond was on. How's the going with Sheehy? Will you ask Billy, what did he think of the Mickey Sheehy goal in the first game in 87? And that's all covered in the book, and I was going to come to it with Billy anyway, because he describes it dramatically in the book, that goal that was squeezed in, Billy. They want to hear about that.
It was the drawn,
wasn't it?
That's the drawn game, yeah. I was actually on the end line. I was as close to Mikey as I am to you now, and he was going in along the end line. And he did a 1-2 with Michael McAuliffe.
Spa, yeah.
But Dennis Welsh was lining up Mikey, was in front of him, stopping him. But Barry Coffey actually came in to try and stop Mikey, but missed him and actually bumped into Dennis Welsh and knocked him, and Mikey got in the line. But as I said, I still couldn't see him squeezing it in, but he squeezed it in between the posts, and it actually hit John Cairns' leg and went in. And I thought it was the end of the world. I thought that's it.
Threw yourself down flat in your face. Yeah. I saw you doing it, yeah.
Because, we had put so much into preparing for that game. We were very confident of winning, and if you don't mind me saying so, I thought we deserved to win, at that stage. But thankfully, John Cairns is quick thinking that he pulled the ball out of the net straight away, ran out and took a quick kick out of me and went down the other end of the field and got a free, and Larry Tompkins equalised, But that moment, I didn't even, when I got up off the ground, the ball was actually in the Kerry half of the field. We were attacking, but I thought it was all up, and I was absolutely shattered at that stage.
It was a remarkable goal, Billy. He must have only 6 inches to squeeze it in.
I'd say hardly the width of the ball, to get it in from that angle, but suddenly I felt like Mikey Sheehy would do it.
And you wonder if he played well?
We did. Mikey made up for it in Killarney, because he missed quite a lot of frees in the first half. I think he missed his boots, or his boots were mislaid, and he had a different pair of boots. But unlike Mikey, he missed a lot of frees. And also, Ger Power got sent off in that first half, so Kerry played most of that game with 14 men. We won it well in the end, I think 13-5, I think was the final score, something like that. You know?
Billy, of course, that's only one of the great memories of the book, because like I said there, it really brings you right down memory lane, bringing back over Billy's career. He has spent, how long has he spent?
40 years, really.
40 yeah, years, yeah. There's so much in it for Kerry people, for all people, like. But
well, it's a Kerry book. You see, the thing to remember about Billy is that Billy, all the big games, really,
yeah.
The whole year, that time was based on the Munster final, because there was no backdoor.
Yeah.
You were gone out if you were beaten. The tension in Killarney and Parky Keeve was unbelievable. You know, Kerry and Cork, 40 or 50,000 people there.
Yeah.
And the losers gone for the year in July and no more football until the following May or June, until they met Tipperary or Limerick in the semi-final or something like that. So, like, there was an awful lot at stake in those Munster finals. There were incredible games too. Like, Billy kind of tells in the book, you know, I suppose Cork for a long time were the second best team in Ireland during the golden years. They've kind of proved it since, like, Tyrone was saying Kerry won soft All-Irelands. Cock come along, knock him out of the All-Ireland this year, comfortably. So then they knew what we were up against all along here in Kerry. But Mick O'Dwyer, the great man that he is, used to go into the Cock dressing room afterwards, you know, and he'd say, lads, you're the second best team in Ireland. Used to drive Billy crazy, like, this same thing every year, yeah. 9 years in a row, and he'd be had his head down, you know, and he'd like, but you know, Mick.
But Billy, you also make a great point in the book in relation to the games that Kerry had with Cork in the Munster finals, that that was a nearly an All-Ireland final, that those games brought Kerry on so much, and they learned so much out of them.
Well, in that period, like, we used to train really, really hard. There was no team could have trained harder than we did, and we'd go into a Munster final thinking, you know, surely we might catch Kerry this year, that we might catch them off guard, they mightn't be as well prepared as we were. But talking to Mikey Sheehy years later, he said, no way. He said that we trained just as hard for Munster final, might have dropped the tempo a little for the semi-final and then coming in for the All-Ireland final, but he said there was no way in the Munster final that we were going to go in unprepared, and that they trained very, very hard for it.
Lord God, Billy, I never thought you'd let a Kerryman write your autobiography. Best of luck with it anyway, Den and Cork. Den and Cork. 0667123666, 0833003300. We have loads of messages coming in. Rebel, Rebel, the Billy Morgan story with Billy Keane, our own Billy Keane from the Stall. This is not so much a book as a crusade, says Paddy O'Shea. And not alone that, but I can add my words to it. It's certainly something that you should go out and buy, because I tell you, it's a wonderful read. By the way, talking about reads, next Wednesday night, I'm in conversation from 6 to 7 with Ty Kennelly. Enough said. We're going for a short break. 0667123666, 0833003300.
You're on the field with Terrace Talk, thanks to Quills Lansdowne Arms Hotel, Kinmare.
Yes, indeed, you're very welcome back to the programme. Billy Morgan, the Cork legend, is my special guest in studio with Billy Keane, talking about his book, Rebel, Rebel, the Billy Morgan story, one of the great reads you'll be going out and buy it. And I can tell you this, everything is in it. It'll certainly bring you down memory lane. Jimmy Kennelly from My Van says Billy Morgan was a brilliant goalkeeper, and would he like to do management again? Billy?
Well, you never say never, but right now I have no inclination towards going back into management. But, as I said, you never know.
Ask Billy, who does he think the best Kerry player over the last 25 years is?
Well, there are a lot of them. My own personal favourite is Mikey Sheehy. I always thought he was a fabulous footballer. But you could nearly pick any of that Kerry team. John Egan is a player I admired very much, and I thought he was very much underrated, but I remember getting that video, the Kerry Golden Years, and all the important goals, John gets them. Jacko was a fabulous midfielder. Pat Spillane, Owen Liston, I think, you know, when he came onto the Kerry team in 1978, I thought he was the last piece in the jigsaw. I know I'm leaving fellas out there, John O'Keefe, you know, another very fine player. Then in later years, Maurice Fitzgerald was an outstanding player. On the present team, of course, the Gooch, everybody, it would be up there with any of them. Dara and Tomás, fabulous players. Kerry produced so many good players, it's very, very hard to pick one of them out.
You mentioned there, and everybody says this, and I keep repeating, you said John Egan was underrated. Everyone says that, but the fact that everybody says he was underrated, everyone says it,
yeah,
means he wasn't underrated, Billy. Everyone said, well, isn't that right, Billy?
Yeah, it's true.
Every person you meet, they'll tell you that John Egan is underrated, but they're all talking about it.
Everyone thinks he was the greatest, or one of the greatest
they do. Billy, time, yeah. Brendan McCarthy-Cock, does Billy remember himself from Lake Cummins coming to Ballymacarder in Cork presenting medals to the O'Neill's Club? The founder member, Sean O'Dowd, is a Kerry man. Hello to Sean and his family.
Yeah, I remember going down with Ray's father. He was from that part of the country, and I remember going down with him, yeah, long time
Jimmy
ago.
Jimmy O'Leary from Killarney, best wishes to Billy Morgan. I was a neighbour of his in Cork until I moved back to Killarney. Jimmy, personal
Jim V.
Jim V.
Jim V, he had the shop in Bishopstown, and I often had a point with him down in the outpost. There was a gang of us used to meet there in Dennis Desmond's place. Jim moved back to Killarney some years ago, and I haven't seen him, but yeah, Jim was a very good friend of mine.
And we send his best wishes to his wife also. Jimmy's uncle won 3 minor All-Irelands with Kerry, and Timmy Leary was one of the greatest, and won 2 seniors. Did you know that?
No,
he never
know
told
that.
You that. Jimmy Leary's uncle was one of the greatest Kerry footballers. He won 3 minor All-Irelands. He captained them 1 year, 29-13-31, and he won 2 senior All-Irelands, Billy. He was a great player, and he was very smart. And Jimmy's father was a founder member of my club, the Killarney Legion Club.
Yeah.
And Jimmy and myself played together. Asked Billy what he thought of the Kerry forwards hand-passing the ball to the net past the Killarney listener.
Well, it was an absolute nightmare.
It was, of course,
because
yeah,
there were, you know, there's the cutters open, and then you'd come out to try and narrow the angle, but they'd flick a pass with your hand, and you would absolutely no hope of stopping it.
So no hand to get rid of
it. I hated it.
Congratulations to Billy, by far the best Cork football manager we've had, Jerry O'Leary from Knocknagree. We mentioned Jack O'Shea there. Jack O'Shea scored something like 11 goals and 60 points from midfield, Billy. Did he ever score a goal? No, Jacko?
I can't remember him getting a goal, me, to be quite honest.
We'll find out. We'll talk to himself. Put them winkles on your ear. Jacko, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Weezy.
Nice to talk to you, my friend.
You're nearly converting Billy into a Kerry man there. Doing a good job.
Did you ever score a goal in Billy?
No, I, when I got that close, I said, no, I wouldn't shame Billy. I'd just knock it off the ground.
Come here. You met up with him a lot, of course. Great keeper.
Great footballer, great goalkeeper, and I must say that he was a great, great competitor. A Cork man through and through. Hated the green and gold jersey when he crossed the white line. But I must say that when he came back out over the white line again, he was probably one of the best friends of all the Kerry fellas. And I think over the years, you know, you can understand how competitive he was on the pitch. But he was a gentleman to meet off the pitch, and always has been.
Well, of course, you would have played against hundreds of all the great. You would have played against all the legendary goalkeepers. Now, he was probably the best. What had he as a goalkeeper, Jacko?
Well, he had great command. He had great commanding ability, and you know, with the defence in front of him, he was always organising the defence. He never stopped talking, and he just seemed to have great control. He had great respect, and I think, you know, he managed Cork teams well over the years, and all the players had huge respect for him. And I think outside of the county, every other player, you know, from Kerry or whatever, had great respect for Billy. And, you know, he was an outstanding goalkeeper. I was just telling him that I could always read his question mark when he came up trying to move the ball from right to left or left to right. I was always able to read it, Billy. I don't know whether you copped that on or not.
Well, I know that he used to target my kickouts. they'd never reach you because you were too far out the field, but you'd be dropping in the half back line.
I know. But a gentleman through and through, and like off the field, as I say, like no matter where you'd meet the man. And I've met him in some difficult situations when he was beaten with a losing manager, losing player, but he was always very respectful to everybody. And as I said, he wore the Cork jersey with pride, and you can't ask any more of anybody like that.
Well, I can tell you, go out and buy the book anyway, if you haven't bought it anyway. Jack Rebel, Rebel, the Billy Morgan story. It'll certainly bring you back down memory lane, and there's great stuff in it.
I look forward to it, and I wish you, yeah, no doubt.
Jack, listen to me, and thanks for joining. Were you at the county final yesterday?
No, I was in Turles yesterday with Seamus.
Listen, congratulations.
I was picking up a bit from the wall. I thought I was forgotten about it. They hadn't forgotten about me yet.
No, they never will. Congratulations, you were voted the best Gaelic footballer of the last 25 years, and Hinley Shifflin was the hurler. Well done, Jack.
Okay, Wishy, thank you very much.
Richly deserves, and we're keeping a close eye on your young son down here that he'll do well too.
Hopefully, yeah, for next year now, please God, yeah.
Okay, Jack, nice
thank
talking to
you.
Sure. Okay, bye-bye, thanks very much. Well done to South Kerry and Declan O'Sullivan, man of the match, Eileen O'Sullivan, John and Killarden, the same, Dermot Keating, the same, Mike Quilter from Causeway. Why did Billy Morgan miss the replay of 1976, he asks Billy.
I didn't miss the replay, 76, a lot of people. No, I played in 76.
Talking about Kerry and talking about Causeway and talking about North Kerry, you worked in Kerry for a good while, and you explain all this in the book. Explain.
I finished in UCC in 1968, but it was hard enough to get a teaching job at the time, so I came down to the Stoll races in September 68. There was talk of a job at the time, getting a job in Bourne and Offaly. But when I came down, I met the Leahys in Listowel, and the Leahys introduced me to Patsy O'Sullivan, who was the headmaster in Causeway Comprehensive School. And he said there was a job going there, and he offered me the job. So I came down to go to the races, and I stayed. Never went home. Well, I did.
Gerald McKinnon became a great friend of yours. Yeah. He's the president of the county board now, of course, here.
Yeah, well, Gerald was the vice principal there, and he was a great man. He took me under his wing, really looked after me, advised me and things like that, and he would cover for me on occasions when I didn't make it back on a Monday or whatever, you know. So he was outstanding, a great man. Like often, I was staying in the stores, they said, and coming back from school, there were three of us, Andy Molyneux, who was became and Tom Fitzgerald, they were teaching there as well. So I used to travel with them, and coming home some evenings and that, we'd stop in Ballyduff with Gerald and maybe go to his local, have a couple of pints, and he'd regale you with stories. Like, I mean,
he gave a great speech, I heard, at the lunch last night.
Oh, incredible.
Incredible, I heard that, yeah.
Incredible, yeah. He just came in, you know, he
this
was...
This is Gerald McKinnon now we're talking about.
Yeah, and he pushed the microphone to one side, and he just stood up there and he gave, it was like an old-fashioned oration, Daniel O'Connell or someone, but what he came up with, a lot of great lines, but the one I liked the best was, he says, Kerry people don't hate Cork, we hate getting beaten by Cork.
Yes.
And that was the line that made most sense to me, you know.
Yeah, nice. It was nice.
It summed it up, really.
Yeah. Billy, from reading the book, it seems the county board didn't approve of any form of player power whatsoever. There was a lot of trouble. You ran into a lot of problems with officers of the county board. You explained the whole thing in the book and the Adidas and then, oh yes, tell us about the time that you were to come back to be presented in Croke Park and you were in America, and did the county board refuse to pay to bring you back or something?
I was actually home for the 84 Hurling All-Ireland Final in Turles, and all previous captains were presented prior to the game. So I remember thinking at the time, are they going to do the same for the football? And I was the only living or surviving Cork captain, so I said, they were doing this, Croke Park were doing the same thing, and I got a phone call from the secretary of NEMO when I went back to New York after the hurling final, and he said that they had put to the county board about bringing me home because the club were, I suppose, proud that they had a captain, and I was the only surviving captain. So they put it to the county board about bringing me home, and the county board wouldn't do it. So they came up with a compromise. He said, look, the county board have agreed to pay a third of the fare. NEMO will pay the other third, and would you pay the other third yourself? So I was only too delighted to do it. So I went and got the ticket, came home, and immediately went into NEMO. The secretary was there and paid me straight away their third. But I never heard one word from the county board, and I wasn't going to go chasing them to get the money, but they never paid, or never, you know, but...
that doesn't surprise me.
Billy, we spoke earlier on there about what he said to the, he came into the Kerry dressing room after, which...
2007.
Down here.
Yeah. 2007. It's kind of interesting, really, because, you know, there was a fella from Cork there kind of said, how'd you get a Kerry man to write your book? Well, the thing about it is that one of the reasons I did the book was, you know, a lot of the stuff now on the internet and things, you see this kind of hate coming over it about players that they've never met. And I've heard fellas say to me, what are you writing a book for Billy Morgan? Show I hate the sight of that man. And I'd say, well, you don't know Billy Morgan, so how can you hate someone you don't know? Right, it's like something the Nazis would have done or something, you know. And I said, find out about the man, and then make your call. So that's why I wanted the, one of the reasons I wanted to do the book was, I knew Billy had great respect for Kerry. I wouldn't have done the book if I thought it was a hatchet job in Kerry. You know, he's critical at times, and maybe he's entitled to. We had one or two disagreements about that, but it's Billy's book, and he had the final call, and fair play. But I just felt so kind of that the man had been very badly wronged by some people who didn't know him. So how can you actually hate a man you've never met? So maybe some of those haters, and there's some in Cork too, they should read the book and find out what the man is really like. And
he's real attitude. You're only talking here. You're only talking about attitude. A very small little minority of people, really, that speak like that, really. Yeah. I mean, the 99.9% of the people, like, really, all over the country, they know Billy Morgan.
I wouldn't say it's 99, no. I'd say it'd be a bit lower. But, like, nearly everyone we meet, like, is a great time from now.
Do you want to say something, Billy?
But, I never went into a dressing room because I always thought it was kind of hypocritical. If you last... You know, you are really down and, you know, you're saying, congratulating the others. And if you win, you know, they are down and, you know, that your words sound a bit hollow. But after 2007, I had made up my mind that it was going to be my last. So I wanted to set the record straight about all this hating Kerry and all this stuff. I didn't know there was a lot of people in that dressing room that I admired, and principally Dave Gainey, who was the man who put me in goal. And I just wanted to go in and set the record straight. And
this is what he said in the book. And Billy Keane, before we go for a break, Billy, this is what Billy said in the dressing room.
I walked up to the Kerry dressing room on my own. That was the way I wanted it. I gathered my thoughts on my way up the corridor. Mick Dolan, the chairman of the Cork County Board, was there before me, and he had just finished his speech. I slipped in at the back. There was a hush in the dressing room. I just want to say something about this stuff about hating Kerry, I said. Of course I do. The same as I hate Dublin when I'm playing against them. The same as I hate Limerick or any other county when I'm playing against them. That's just for the match, but when it's over and life goes on. I have more connections with Kerry than any other county. First of all, that fella standing over there, Dave Gainey, was the first man to pick me in goal. He started me off in UCC and looked after me. I spent one of the happiest years of my life when I was teaching in Kerry, and I wouldn't have come home but for football. Gerald McKenna, the ex-chairman of the county board, looked after me, and I had the good fortune to play with one of the greatest players of all time, Mick O'Connell. Someone wrote this was a very poor Kerry team. That's not true. There are men in this dressing room who would hold their own in any era with any Kerry team. I think I'm qualified to say that. Well done. It's ye we aspire to. I just wanted to set the record straight. And I think what happened after that then was the Kerry players stood up and clapped him out of the dressing room.
066-712-3666, 083-300-3300. We're giving away two Rebel books, The Billy Morgan Story with Billy Keane, to be autographed specially for you by Billy Morgan. 326 pages of, I can tell you, suspense-laden stuff from one page to the other. You don't know what you're going to encounter. We'll be back shortly. Stay with us on Terrace Talk.
You're on the field with Terrace Talk, thanks to Quills Lansdowne Arms Hotel, Kinmare.
Yes, indeed, you're very welcome back to the programme. Rebel, The Billy Morgan Story. That's what we're discussing here tonight. And a reminder again that next Wednesday night I'm in conversation with Ty Kennelly for an hour. He'll be in studio with me. Don't miss that next Wednesday night. And as Paddy Shea said about Rebel, this is not such as much a book as a crusade. The name itself, Billy, Rebel, would you consider yourself a rebel?
Well, I'm a rebel coming from Cork, and I suppose the second rebel comes that I rebelled a little bit, I suppose, against county board and things like that, so maybe the title is apt, I don't know.
But I'm Jim Winkers, and you're there again now, because there's a rebel living in Cork here. You played with him, won an All-Ireland with him, and he's living in Cork, and he's a member of the Terrace Talk Championship panel every Monday night. He's won Dinis Dinny Long. Dinny, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Wade.
How are you doing, my friend?
I'm very good, how are you?
That's not bad at all. What have you to say about your former teammate and captain here?
Well, I suppose the first thing I want to congratulate Billy on his marvellous book, and I'm looking forward to read it over the next couple of days. And I suppose when you talk about Billy Morgan, I suppose he represents Cork football better than anybody else that I've known over the last 40, 50 years. And I suppose, you know, what he's done as a player, you know, has been tremendous. And what he's done as manager for Cork has been outstanding. And I think the second thing that, you know, people forget is that not alone has he given 40-year service to Cork, but he's given tremendous service to his club. So not alone was he a tremendous county man, but he was also a tremendous clubman.
As a midfielder in that great Cork team, what were his kickouts like?
Well, I think that Billy played a huge part in that because, you know, he was a bit of a father figure even to me at that time. And obviously Billy was ahead of his time in terms of a goalkeeper, and everything he did was done professionally, and he made our job a little bit easier out the field because he was nearly able to put the ball into your mouth. So he had everything really, and he was a great guy to be around, and you know, it was a great honour for me personally to win an All-Ireland medal with Billy Morgan.
Denis, were you playing the day the goal allowed and the goal disallowed?
I was, yeah.
Well, no, Billy, the goal that was allowed and the goal that was disallowed. You cover all this in the book. The late John Maloney was riffing it that day. There was absolutely consternation that day. Explain to our listeners what we're talking about.
Well, we were up 4 points, I think, at the stage with time nearly up. And Kerry got
this was the Munster final.
Munster final, Kerry got a free to just the left of the goal. And Mikey was taking it, but Sean Welsh was standing at the edge of the square, and that was the first one. I think he wasn't 14 yards from the ball, and Mikey took a shark free to him. He turned and he banged it past me, but Brian Murphy was standing inside the post, and he caught it. No, his feet were slightly over the line, but he was crouched over, and to my dying day, that ball never crossed the line. He caught it and teared it, but the umpire put the green flag up. But there was a little bit of a story to that, because in the 73 All-Ireland final, Galway got a goal. Tommy Nocton took a shot. I saved it. It hit the post. I saved it and it went onto the post and fell behind me. When I got up, the ball was outside the line. I picked it up and was soaring out the field when I was called back. The umpire was waving the green flag. So in an interview afterwards, I had said the ball never crossed the line. But then there was a photograph the following day on the Independent, and it showed the ball to be over the line. Now, that was the same umpire that was in 73, and he was the same umpire in 76. And prior to that, he had said to me in during that Munster final, you know, do you remember that shot you said I wasn't over the line? Well, it was, and I said, yeah, I saw it in the Independent and all that. So when he was giving the goal for Brian Murphy, I turned to object, and he just pointed at me. He said, no, you were wrong in 73 and you're wrong here now again today. So I was dumbfounded. I couldn't say another word. But from the kick-out, we went straight down the field. We got a free out to the right of the goal. Sean Murphy lobbed it in, and Declan Byrne got a fist of the ball, put it into the back of the net. And Declan Byrne was not inside the square. Television...
He ran in.
Would show that he wasn't in the square. Whether it was John Maloney or his umpires, but disallowed it, I don't know. But we suffered a double whammy. Kerry were given a goal at one end. We were disallowed one. And they came up the field from the kick-out, and Pat Spillane got the equaliser. And
all this is explained in dramatic detail in Rebel. Dinny, you agree with what everything he says?
Of course he would, Misha.
Well, I think that 76 thing, I suppose, will be talked about forever. I suppose the goal that wasn't and the goal that wasn't. But I suppose, you know, that it was obvious that Billy was always going to write a book, and I think that, you know, he put the nail in the coffin there when he got Billy Keane there alongside him to help him out. So it just goes to show that when Billy came outside the white line, there was no nicer guy, and I'm sure that everybody in Kerry knows that. But when Billy was inside the white line, as I remember at club level, we played against Nemo several times, and I can tell you that he gave out to me as much as he gave out to anybody else. It was just that he was so passionate about the game, and Billy Morgan is a 7 day week football man, and I think that tells you an awful lot about him.
Yeah. Dinny, thank you for joining us.
No bother, Rich.
Goodbye, Dinny.
Good
all
luck.
The best. Noreen Flaherty, truly, I admire anyone with spirit, even if they do wear a Cork jersey. Well done to Billy Morgan. Michael O'Connell is stolen, Billy Keane. Pat Lane is from Fines, not as Keating. He refereed the All-Ireland 87, the first time Billy took Cork to All-Ireland. And Kerry person who played with Cork in the 67 final against Meath was Kevin Dillon from Douar. that right, Bill?
That's right, Kevin is a very good, friend of mine.
I didn't know that.
He is, he's from Douai,
Is it possible to get a copy of yesterday's match programme? It is, if you're in the county board. Well done to Skellig Rangers lads and the South Kerry team. Best wishes to Billy, looking forward to the read. A great sportsman from Clive and Tralee. Willie Cronin from Cove, Jack O'Shea scored the goal in the National League game in Parky Kiev against Billy Morgan. He caught him with a lob ball. Billy's thinking carefully. Billy Keane, you reckon this man has a memory like an elephant?
He's incredible. Huh? If Jacko scored at him, he'd have remembered.
I remember. Hang on a second.
No.
The goal
actually...
You're after spoiling his night, Clive.
No,
Willie Cronin. From
the
Cove.
The ball looped up.
Willie Cronin. Cove.
It hit Brian Murphy's thigh and looped up over my head, over inside the far post, but I suppose Jack
was...
Well, I suppose Jack was entitled to claim the goal.
My captain from Limerick, congratulations to Billy on a great book. Mick O'Neill Tralee, please ask Billy what happened in 94 that Dennis Welch was dropped from the panel. Teddy Mack was the only man to get two medals in that year, but did not play in the Munster finals.
94.
Yeah, he says here, this is what he says, in 94 that Dennis Welch was dropped.
He's probably 1990. Dennis wasn't dropped from the panel. Teddy was injured for the Munster final and the Munster semi-final, and he came back. Dennis played in the Munster final that year. Then he got injured and missed the All-Ireland semi-final. And for the final, he was in the 24 or whatever. But he was not dropped from the panel.
Wishy, will you ask Billy, why does he think the county board put so many obstacles in his way over the years, says Mike Hapton from Limerick. Mike, I can tell you this anyway, if you want all those answers, go out and buy Rebel Rebel, and you'll know have all the answers. But Billy, when we come back, before we go for a break, Billy Keane is going to read a little bit, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Billy about the county board. Great programme tonight, Wishy, Shane O'Carroll Abidoni, great show, Wishy, very entertaining, would love to win the book, Bridie and Tralee. Bridie and Tralee, I hope you win the book, it'll be signed, but if you don't, drop up to Easons and you can buy it. Billy Keane.
It just kind of sums up the way they treated Billy in 1991 after he won, they were beaten by Kerry, he'd won the double for Cork for the first time ever as manager, but they had a coup against him, right? And Billy went down by complete accident to Parky Kiev, met a friend of his who told him there was a move against him that very night. He went down to do a bit of weights and things. I met a prominent board man as I was leaving the stadium. Anything going down, I asked. Ah, nothing much, Billy. All's quite so, I asked, pretending I hadn't a clue about the move against me. Ah, yeah, Bill. Nothing much happening so. I wanted to make him suffer. Ah, no. And he couldn't get away fast enough. I knew even by then that the board man was one of the main movers against me, and I took great pleasure in watching him squirm.
066-712-3666, 083-300-3300. If you want to win that book, Rebel Rebel, The Billy Morgan Story, we'll be back shortly. We've so much to talk about that we could be here maybe for another 3 or 4 programmes, but we'll do the best we can. Stay with us and tell us talk.
You're on the field with Terrace Talk, thanks to Quill's Lansdowne Arms Hotel, Kinmare.
Yes, indeed. You're very welcome back to the programme. Billy Morgan and Billy Keane are my guests in studio talking about Rebel Rebel, The Billy Morgan Story. Next Wednesday night, 6 to 7, I'll be talking to Tyken Ely. He'll be in studio.
There was myself, Dinny Allen, and Jazz Murphy. Yes. Jazz, who Captain Kerry in 53.
He's the oldest living, surviving Kerry captain.
But I know whether you ever know, he's a past president of Nemo.
I know that, yeah.
And he's Nemo man. But somebody took a photograph of the three of us, three captains, Nemo, and Jimmy was only talking about it. He was looking for it, so whoever took that photograph, if he has it,
A photograph in Jimmy O'Brien's pub in Killarney of Billy Morgan, Dinny Allen and our own Jazz Murphy. He's the oldest living, surviving, winning Kerry captain, 1953. And if anyone has that photograph, contact me straight away and I'll get it on to Billy. You became great friends, of course, with the Bomber after your previous buddies.
Well, you see, I knew the Bomber a long time before that because Nemo, every summer, used to go down to Ballybunion on holidays. And we used to drink in Owen's parents' pub.
Yeah.
So I remember Owen when he was...
So he owes you a few pints, so. Listen, we're after hearing Billy Morgan's side of the story about that collision. Now let's hear from the Bomber listening. See what does he say, see what does the Bomber say about it. Bomber, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much indeed, and just like to congratulate Billy there and wish him well in the book. Really looking forward to reading it.
Lovely. And looking at the photographs, let me add.
Looking at the photograph?
Yes. Tell us.
The only thing I take issue with Billy there, he said a half second later I arrived. I thought it was more a quarter of a second. And the other thing I'd like to say is that all the money the Nemo fellas and Billy left there in my father's pub, it helped to put us through college, and I'd just like to say a thank you to him.
You owe that man a few points.
I owe him a lot.
Owen, you met up against him a lot. You came in on top of him a lot, and a lot happened. But listen, he was one of the all-time great, probably the greatest Gaelic goalkeepers of all time.
There's no question about that. Not only his kick-outs, his reflexes were top class, and the way he marshalled the defence, I could hear him in action a good few muster finals there, you know, keeping everyone on their toes in front of him. And sure, look, his record, which is just phenomenal, speaks for itself. But, you know, the glad thing I'm about the whole, and we had our ups and downs over the years, Billy, and I'm only just glad that we've good friendship now, and we've played golf together and had a lot of fun, and I'm just looking forward to many more years of that.
Certainly hope so, Owen. You know, I know I'm hardly out of the pub.
Have a given trouble,
isn't that nice? No. Great times.
Owen, that's always nice to talk to you. Any bit of cooking lately?
No, Weeshie, I'm gone very rusty again, I tell you. But sure, once I bait you that night, that's all that counts. Good luck now.
Good luck, Owen. Nice talking.
Yeah, bye.
Good luck, Owen.
So, Owen listened about the bomber listen there. Did you want to read something there, Billy? You'll be picking out something out of the book. Come here. The Adidas saga in Cork, and you weren't left. And then there was another saga when Frank Murphy came into the dressing room. You were addressing the players, and you asked him to leave the dressing room. He took grave exception to it, and little things like that. You had a lot of
Well, that was the last incident like that. We played Limerick in 2007 in the first round of the championship in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. And as you know, the dressing rooms in Páirc Uí Chaoimh are very small, so you know, we came in through in our gear, went up to the gym, you know, more or less togged off, got rubs up there, warmed up there, and then came back down to the dressing room to put our boots on and go out. And that was about 10 minutes, so like I'd say a few words and go out. But I had a rule that anybody that wasn't directly involved with the team would leave the dressing room 3/4 of an hour before the game. And that was adhered to. Never had a problem with it. But as I was speaking, the door opened and Frank came in. And I said, "Excuse me, Frank." And Frank said, "I'm sorry, Billy." And he went to close the door from the inside. And I said, "No, Frank, would you ever mind leaving us alone for a few minutes, please?" So Frank turned and went out the door. Now, I said it in that tone of voice. Frank didn't actually speak to me for the rest of the summer, and I think I signed my, even if I wanted to stay on as Cork manager, I think I signed my death warrant, if you like, as Cork manager that day.
And also in the book you said, just before we go to the comment line, we have someone to talk to again, I think it was Dinny Allen told the story about turning around at mess. All this is in the book, folks, listen to me. I'm not making this up.
Well, supposedly Dinny was at mass one day in Ballinock, and Frank was in front of him, and you know, it comes a bit in the mass where you turn around and shake hands and say peace be with thee, and Dinny was behind Frank, so Frank turned around and shook hands with Dinny, and Dinny told me the story, and I said, "What, you shook hands? What?" And he said, "Yeah, I did, Bill, but I didn't mean it."
Come here, I never realised, like, in the book, that you were such great friends with Gerald McKenna, and that you had done such great work. Gerald McKenna's on the line to talk to us now. Gerald, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Richie.
Nice to talk to you, my friend, and you enjoyed the night, Saturday night, and you have great time for this man.
Well, wonderful time. You know, I have retired from going to these functions, as you know now, but it was a measure of the regard and the respect that I had for this man, both as a colleague, an ex-colleague teaching, and as a friend, that I had to go there. And I'd say this much. I was very proud of Kerry and North Kerry, and ex-players in particular, the way that they turned out in the stall. They gave this man a response that any Kerry man would be proud of. And that showed that it's not I alone, but many others hold him in respect. This county, the people in this county, now the vast majority of them, there'll be those Talibans, as we call them, in every county and in every club. But the vast majority are great sportsmen, and they hold great players and great administrators, for that matter, in high regard. And that was shown, without a doubt, in Listowel last night. I was glad to be there. I wish Billy, the two Billies, all the respect in the world, or all the success in the world with their book. I have never met a more committed man than Billy Morgan to a game. To Cork football, to Nemo football, to UCC football. His life was completely, if one may say so, wrapped up in it. And by the way, Weishi, there has been a lot of talk recently about Cork hurling teams and this quick puck out. 30 years ago, Billy Morgan had a quick kick out from Cork. He was one of the first goalkeepers that I can remember to take kick outs. You will remember
it. Yeah, and direct them out to his own men.
Now, it got very little publicity, but Billy was an innovator. Another thing that he mastered in his coaching and so on and so forth, talking to players, was a quick free. I remember in Killarney where a couple of Kerry backs started arguing with the referee about whether a free should have been awarded or not, and the next thing, by the time they had their argument finished, the ball was in the back of the Kerry net. So Billy, he was meticulous in everything. And I will say this, when Billy came, I was very sorry when he left us. He left to go back to Cork, not because he wasn't happy in Kerry or teaching in Causeway with us. He was very happy. He was treated in Listowel by the Leahy family and by the people in Listowel and by the people in North Kerry generally, as if he was one of our own. He was very happy and he was very popular in the school. He went back. You couldn't blame him for going back because he was going back to his own county, to his own native place. But I was afraid of one thing, and we had a discussion. Billy had such a high regard for UCC that he mentioned to me about doing medicine. And I had to say to him, Billy, are you going back to Cork because you will go to UCC and play 6 years with him? And it is the 6 years playing with UCC I said you'll be interested in, rather than the medicine. But however, he didn't do that. I know, God above in heaven, his run-ins with the Cork County Board. Now, Billy's passion. Billy, I admired Billy too, because Billy wore his hat on his sleeve. There was nothing devious or inward or malicious about him that way. What he had to say was out. And I remember a day above in Galway, many a long day ago, when he was working in Causeway. And there was a couple of prominent Cork officials there. And there was no way in the wide earthly world that I could convince them that Billy wasn't carousing down in Kerry. And I remember saying to them, that fella goes up in the field in the stall with a football, I said, very often all on his own, and turns on the lights and kicks it against the wall training. I wish, I said, that there was a lot of the Kerry footballers had the same commitment as Billy had.
Lovely, well said,
Billy,
John.
Billy, you deserve the best. I give regards to Mary again, and good luck with your book, and good luck with the other Billy with the book as well.
Lovely, Gerald.
Thanks very much, Gerald.
Thank you, Gerald, and we much appreciate it. Always nice to talk to you, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Lovely to talk to you, Gerald McKenna. Always interesting to have him on. 06671.
We had the current chairman of the county board in Listowel, fantastic man, Jerome.
Right.
Sean Kelly was there, and we also had Sean Welsh, so we had four past...
And Gerald McKenna.
And Gerald McKenna.
Was there a photo taken at the forum?
There was. It was the first time that they'd been together for a long time, but it just shows the difference, maybe, you know, that the respect that, you know, from that, the very highest level of the GAA and Kerry for it.
I'm telling you, folks, this book, Rebel Rebel, the Billy Morgan story, I can tell you everything is in it. I'm only scratching the surface. 0667123666 083 300 3300. When we come back, we'll be drawn for the two books, and we have more to talk about to Billy. Stay with us on Terrace Talk.
You're on the field with Terrace Talk, thanks to Quill's Lansdowne Arms Hotel, Kinmare.
You're welcome back to the programme. 0667123666 083 300 3300. Rebel Rebel, the Billy Morgan story. Everything is between those pages. Everything you want to know about Cork football, about Irish football, about Kerry, about Billy Morgan, about 101 more things. Billy, you really opened your heart in this book. And the one thing, the one chapter that's in it is your blackest day in your job in teaching.
Yeah.
You needn't have put it in, but you did.
Well, if you're going to tell your story, you've got to tell everything. And it was, I suppose, my temper again left me down in the class. This young fella gave me a little bit of cheek, and I lost a head, and gave me a clatter, and put him outside the door. And when I was coming out after class, you know, there was another little bit of an altercation, but it went
very far in the end, actually.
Yeah.
You know, Billy was actually brought to court and convicted of assault. And when we did this bit, I was wondering, you were very... Well, I'll tell you, that it was probably the most traumatic. There was a couple of traumatic bits in the book. We both got very emotional because I got into a lot of trouble myself in my career at one stage, and we both kind of knew what it was like. His career was on the line, but a lot of people seem to think that he lost his job because of that incident. He didn't. And, like, there was a bit in the book then, I think it turned him against teaching a bit, but there's a bit in the book where the Kilashdig Nod Reese, or Sully's Key as they're known as in Cork, they went on to win an under 70
final. Yeah, the Frohan Cup, which would be Munster College's final.
And they came in, Bill came into the bus afterwards, and the boys clapped him into the bus. That's what the kids thought of him there, but it was just an unfortunate incident. And you see, the thing about the temper is that, this is where I was getting at, maybe I said about people hating him, but the temper thing is, they don't really, but the temper thing is like, when I did the book with Bill, this was really fascinating me, because, you know, I had a bit of a fuse myself, but there's always a reason, you know? And we went kind of back, and, you know, I'd say Billy found it very difficult to do parts of the book, because you're going through your whole life and stuff that you've probably blocked out, but Bill's mother died when he was very, very young, and I think it had a profound effect on him always.
So, Billy, I was going to mention your mother, Lortimer. You were only what age when she died?
I was five, just short of my sixth birthday, yeah.
Big shock to you and the family?
Well, at the time, you see, I didn't really know my mother, but I think around the same time, you see, my older brother, Tony, who was 6 years older than me, went and was a very good footballer and hurler, and he'd been playing with Chris Reed teams, and he was my hero. And he went off to Bellavorney, you know, shortly after my mother died. So I kind of lost, I suppose, the two main people in my life, if you like, you know, at the time. And like Tony, like, he was in boarding school then, you know, for 5 years, and then went to St. Pat's in Dublin. And then when he finished, he went, sir, he really never came back.
Billy, if you hadn't got the temper, you probably wouldn't be here tonight. Do you know that? You wouldn't have written a book. And Patrick Sheehan Kilcomen, Billy was a great footballer and a great manager. He had great passion. Jim O'Connor, Scattaglen, Reid, Brian Looney, he must not have been far away from many of the match yesterday. John Cronin, Fern Four, what is Billy's view on Kerry being a great footballing county? And why is it they can get the upper hand in Cork and other counties most of the time? We'll come back to that. She asked Billy, where did he think it went wrong for Cork in the All-Ireland, and did Cork peak against Tyrone, Francis O'Callaghan and Palace? I haven't time to go through everything. It is people with pride and passion of Billy that has made the GAA the great organisation it is. That's what we're talking about all night. Margaret Kelly, Farn Four, congratulations to Billy. Breda O'Brien, Tralee, congratulations to Billy Morgan, a great Cork man and a great GAA man. Tom Wells, Castle Gregory, Ree Gold, Sean Wells, Scott, Brian Murphy was over the line, he says. Jim Gleeson, good luck to Billy up the college. Just Jim Gleeson, you played with Jim. Did Dr. Crokes need to win on Sunday, or would a draw get him into the Munster Championship? A draw, I think, could get them in. Connie Kelly in Boston, great listener to this programme. Connie, I'll be over to you in the new year, please God. I've something to talk to you about. Enjoy the programme. Liam O'Reilly just came to Boston and played in 99. Boston selection was, Billy was there that day. We got a lot of Kerry Cock rivalry here in Boston. Also, can you ask Billy what is it that make Liam O'Reilly so special? Ask him about Dinny Allen winning the All-Ireland. Dan Keane, my van, 2 goals against Cork. The Kerry one should have been a free out, as Sean Welsh was not the required distance from Mikey Sheehy. Long said the man who saved it had his feet behind the line. It hit his stomach, which was further back than his feet. Donny Sheen, Killarney, myself and Billy had many a battle. Best of luck with the book. John Sullivan, Tralee, Billy, the best cockman ever. It sounds like a compelling read. Looking forward to getting my hands on it. Best wishes to Billy. Great programme from Rebel in Kerry. Dennis Conroy, chairman of the Cork County Board. Ask Billy how he got on with him. Mary Downey, would love to the book. Best wishes to Billy. And Tim Linehan, loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of comments. And Rebel, the Billy Morgan story. And Billy, I must ask you, behind every great man, there's a greater person. And that is the lady wife, and you've 2 great sons.
Yeah, I'm married to Mary for, how long now, 38 years. Met her through GAA, I suppose. Playing with UCC in a championship game in Kinsale. We tagged off in the small hotel there, and we tagged off in this hotel. It was a big GAA house. And I met her there. Her father was a big GAA man. He was founder member of, I think, Kilbritton GAA, and he was chairman. So he used to bring them.
2 fine sons.
I have 2, yeah, fine sons, Brian and Alan. Brian actually works with me, and Alan is in the bank. Both play football, both play with Nemo. And I'm very proud of them.
You are, of course.
Both have actually won All-Ireland club medals as well, and county championships.
I mean, we didn't get a chance to talk about Nemo, because there's a Nemo man producing the programme tonight, Andrew Morrissey, and you reckon, if he had stayed with it, that he'd have been a second Billy Morgan?
Well, Andrew, he was with a very good underage team in Nemo, and, you know, played in that team, but as he approached, came towards minor...
Who won those books? Sorry, Billy, we're
finished. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Who won these are the books?
Mike Hartnett from Limerick.
You're going to get a signed copy of Mike Hartnett?
Yeah, and Mike Quilter from Causeway. Now, I know we only have 2, but there was one woman, Bridie, and she said she was dying to win a book, so myself and Billy might give Bridie one as well. She seems very like a very nice woman from the message.
There you are. Now, the book is Rebel Rebel, the Billy Morgan story with Billy Keane, and I can tell you this, you're listening all night, we only scratched the surface.